Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Cast podcast. We're here with Mike Reed from MicroGains. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So give people a little bit of background. What is MicroGains? I've got some of your products. I found that indirectly. And then, but give us a little bit of your background and how this all got started.
Sure. MicroGains is a weightlifting equipment company. We sell weightlifting equipment for barbells, dumbbells, and weight machines. And one of our big niches is all of our stuff's made in the USA. So I say broadly weightlifting equipment, but really we specialize in fractional weight plates. That's our big niche. That's kind of where the micro comes in MicroGains. And if you're not familiar with fractional plates, those are like really small weight plates for barbells. So typically when you go to gym, the smallest plate you see is a 2.5 pound plate, allowing you to do 5 pound jumps at the minimum. You keep on making 5 pound jumps, eventually you're going to plateau, or else you'd be able to bench press your car if you keep adding 5 pounds. And that's where our product comes into play. We sell smaller than 2.5 pound plates. We sell quarter, half, 3/4, 1 pound, 1.25 pound plates. And that allows a lifter to go up by smaller increments over time. So it's not about like your max like reps, not like I need to pull, 401 pounds on a deadlift. It's about your sets and reps. So if you're doing 3 sets of 5 of overhead press at 135 pounds and going up to 140 for your next set, you're only getting 3 reps, 4 reps, 2 reps, but you want to get 5, 5, 5. Maybe you go up to 137.5 instead of going up to 140. Same thing on the bench press. You're bench pressing 300 pounds. It's not about mentioning 302.5. It's about 302.5 for 3 sets of 5 or whatever you want to do, 3 sets of 10, 4 sets of 8, something like that. It's about like progressively adding a little bit of weight to kind of break through that plateau versus, we understand there's a lot of ways to break plateaus. You can deload your bar. You can switch up the reps. You can switch up the intensity. You can switch up the whole exercise. But we focus on the progressive overload side of adding incremental weight over time. So we sell those products for Olympic barbells. We also sell them for standard 1-inch barbells. And we also sell them for dumbbells. That's sort of been our biggest product plate, which is, dumbbells always go up by fives, 5, 10, yeah. 15, 25, 35, 45, 55, et cetera, et cetera. This is a way that you can clamp on weight to the handle of a dumbbell and make a 57.5 pound dumbbell, or a 82.5 pound dumbbell, or a 102.5 pound dumbbell, or a 17.5 pound dumbbell. And you can do that by just clamping on a set where we can effectively double your entire dumbbell range for a lot less than you buying a set of 102.5s or a whole set of 47.5s or something like that. Dumbbell exercises are definitely difficult to go up by 5 forever on those. I mean, I think most people just they just hit a plateau and they just sit there. You might just curl 50 pounds the rest of your life. And, you're trying to maybe add more reps or change the scheme. And then eventually you're going to get injured because you're swinging the weight, things like that. So our product helps you not only, keep your form straight, help you prevent injury, and help you go up slower. Think about like static moves, shoulder, like lateral raises. People aren't swinging up hundreds in lateral raises. But you might be able to do 15, but go to 20, and it's a much more difficult move. So going up to 16 pounds with our 1 pound dumbbell plate, or going up to 18.5 pounds, might be in the cards for you to keep progressive overload going. That's kind of what we do.
Awesome. So speaking of microloading, has Mark Ripito ever reached out to you guys to sponsor Starting Strength? Because that seems like a perfect product for his training methodology.
The interesting thing about Starting Strength is that's actually how I got started, like lifting myself back in 2014, 15, whenever I got more into powerlifting. I found out about Strong Lifts first, which was like a 5 sets of 5 model. And then I went to, that's actually a lot of volume. And I found out about Starting Strength, 3 sets of 5, and learned about Mark Ripito, learned about fractional plates and, or like their use. It wasn't that long ago that they had posted about us. I have sold a lot of stuff to Starting Strength users. I have sent a set to Mark Ripiteau himself. We talked about, he's seen them. We've talked about doing something together, but nothing ever quite materialized. So okay. we definitely support the community, but we're not like an official partner of Starting Strength or anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely in line with their strength training model for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised they haven't branded any of that stuff too yet, because it just seems like it would be a perfect addition. The dumbbell fractional plates. I know you went through a few different iterations of the design. How hard was that to create something that would actually clamp on without falling off? Because that seems like that would not be an easy thing to do.
So back whenever I started the company, this is like 2016, when I wanted to do fractional plates. And I realized, like, I realized at the exact same time that like there was a need for dumbbells. And, you know, talking to my father-in-law, who I basically call him my R&D manager, like he's a great hands-on handyman guy. Like he's like a blacksmith. He has a forge. He can like, wow. He's just very, very handy. And we started chatting about like, you know, I've seen this, you know, this company PlateMate that makes magnetic plates that magnetize to the ends of dumbbells, but they don't work on every dumbbell. In fact, they don't work on most dumbbells. So the only other way I could think of at the time of like adding weight was like, what about the handle? It's long enough that like you still have, you know, no one's hand takes up the entire dumbbell handle. You know, that would be most dumbbell handles. I know this pretty well now, is 5.25 inches long. That's like the average. Most people's hands width is not 5 inches. And I was like, what if we just snuck a little weight in there? You know, how could we do that? And we went out and made a prototype that day. It's like September 2016, where we cut out some sheet metal and he put basically a spring on the front of it. And we made it so like it kind of opened, like actuated, I guess, like opened on a pivot. Yep. And it clamped on, and it weighed like, you know, I think an eighth of a pound or something like that. And it was like, well, I still have it. It's the original prototype for the dumbbell plate. And we went through a couple iterations of that and realized, yeah, this is the way to go. As long as we can get it tight enough, you know, where it won't fall off or whatever. We eventually went with like a banded model, which you may have seen, where there's like we put like an EP, we still sell them. We're actually going to phase them out. We're actually working on phasing them out, but like an EPDM black rubber band around the edge, around the whole plate to give it like the strength, because making the spring version work was just not in the cards originally. It was too expensive to make the version that I make now and whenever I first started my company. So we put out the product that we went through, I mean, 6 or 7 design, maybe actually 10 designs. I have a couple videos in the past on like Throwback Thursdays where I go through some of the older designs. We got away from a spring, went to a band, went to a thicker band, and then, you know, it was basically ready for commercial use. And we started with a 1 pound size and then launched the half and the 1.25 pound size in 2018, early 2019. And then we started to work on the spring loaded version, which you see now, which has come to much fanfare. It's quite a redesign, and it's better in pretty much every way. It's thinner, smaller. It has a spring instead of an internal spring instead of a band. And it looks nicer. It's a better product. And it's kind of what what I wanted to do for 5 or 6 years. We just didn't quite have the capital to invest in that particular product design in the way that we manufacture it here, since we make everything here in the US. So, you know, after a lot of trial and error, we eventually came out with it, and it's been pretty cool. It's a great product.
Nice. What does the new design look like? Is that actually going to be spring loaded as opposed to banded?
It is spring loaded. Yeah. Yeah. We came with a new design September 2021. We have 2 sizes of that, 1 pound and 1.25 pound. And we're going to come out with a 2.5 pound size this fall. So, and it has an internal spring. It works the same. It works on a pivot. It's riveted together, but there's a torsion spring. And that gives it all of its like rigidity to snap back onto your dumbbell handle.
Yeah.
So the nice thing is too, like it doesn't look just like lock on or clamp. Like it's easy to take on and off. Like it goes on easy. It comes off easy, but it does stay on your dumbbell.
Nice. I'm curious about the reception. So when you first started, was this extremely popular? Did it get a lot of kind of groundswell, grassroots kind of attention, or was it pretty much a grind from day one?
For the company itself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I started the company because of like a need for me personally. So like I was following that model, like I was mentioning to you right before the podcast, of powerlifting. And for me, it was like, it was hard to go by 5 after so long. And, you know, especially for overhead press and bench, like maybe not squat and deadlift so much, you know, you recruit a lot of muscle fiber to do that, but you use a lot less muscle fiber to do overhead press or bench, right? You're only using your chest, your shoulders. So it's really tough at some point. I'm not a huge guy, so it's tough to go by five forever. So I remember looking on Amazon and like thinking, okay, there's gotta be something smaller than a 2.5 pound plate. And looking on Amazon, I thought the options were limited and everything was made overseas. And I was like, you know, I can probably make these myself. So I remember I went to a local laser cutter and I had 25 of each size made, just quarter, half, 3/4 and 1 pound, brought them home. They were steel discs and I cleaned them and then hung up a board in my shed and spray painted them black, flipped them on one side, spray painted it, waited for it to dry, flipped it, spray painted it. And then I bought stickers that said micro gains and a sticker that said 1/4 pound, 1/2 pound, 1 pound and stuck them on there. And then we started selling on eBay in 2017. There was definitely no major fanfare or anything like that. I think we sold two, three sets the first month in February. And I remember where I was whenever I sold, cause I worked in retail my whole life, grocery retail. I was, working at the time, whenever I got the first sale, I listed it the day before and I sold 2 8 plate sets, which is a pair of sets of quarters, halves, 3/4 and 1 pounders. So it's pretty excited. You know, you get that first sale, right? You're like, hey, this might work. And I originally was just making them for myself, not to start. I did not have an intention to build a business. And, you know, it started to slowly couple sales. And then we launched on Amazon in like June or July. And then it started to be like a sale a day. And then, you know, by the end of the year, I don't remember when I quite launched Instagram. Instagram was probably 2017, but like it wasn't like people knew who we were for, you know, probably a good 2 years. And then we started to try to get more, like we started to up our marketing efforts, did pretty well at Christmas, and then started to send our products out to like review sites and things like that. Cause they weren't like as, you know, 2016, 2017, there's not near as many as there are now. So it was a little harder to get the word out, I guess. So Amazon was the best way we did that, you know, cause it's just the most shot place on the internet. So, but yeah, that's kind of how we got started. And then it got bigger. We started the Facebook, the Instagram, and, you know, started to post. I post content every day, pretty much, you know, for years now, and started to grow the following. And yeah.
Very nice. Give me 1 second. I just realized I forgot my laptop charger. I don't want to die in the middle of this podcast. So give me 2 seconds.
No problem.
All right.
I guess you can just edit that out, huh?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, it's pretty easy. We use shotcut. Perfect. All right, we're back. Cool. So tell me a little bit about, let me get this just again. Tell me a little bit about COVID. Did you guys see any significant spike in the business or any sort of, difference in how much you guys are selling during COVID, or is it just kind of steady throughout the entire period?
We did see a big jump. So I was still working full time at my job and running MicroGains at the same time for 4 years up into 2020, like around March, whenever it started to really, really hit, we saw like a small increase, nothing out of the ordinary. And then it started to turn into like April and May were crazy because people started buying our fractional plates, which was 5 pounds total, as like 5 pound weights, you know, because there wasn't anything available. So, you know, you'd buy two 8 plate sets, which is like basically buying 2 5 pound plates for, you know, $40 or whatever each. And it started to really take off. Like it was taking up all my time. So like, not, you know, we're a side business. It's like, you know, you slowly grow it. You work a couple hours a week on it whenever you can on nights. And basically for me, it was like, you know, coming home, having dinner, and then like working on it from like 8 to midnight, then waking up at 5 a.m. to print out orders for my wife to do. And I hired someone to help out at that point with orders in the morning. And then I go to work 7 to 5, come back home, work on it again. And then it became, you know, driving to pick up inventory, like my days off. Then if I had like a Tuesday off, it was spent working on MicroGains because it was trying to coordinate inventory. This is all out of my house, like out of my garage. I had pallets in my garage of inventory. It was crazy. And then we launched the 2.5, 5, and 10 pound plate because no one had any. So we launched a steel version of a 2.5, 5, and 10 that we originally stickered, like old school. And then we pad printed, and then eventually we laser etched. But no one could get them. And, you know, the steel was rising like at the same pace. So, you know, our price was high on them. They're really thin steel plates and they're nice, but like, you know, when nothing else is available, I mean, people were interested. And since we make everything in the US, our supply chain wasn't affected like everyone else was. 90%, 95% of gym equipment is made overseas, probably. You know, there's several companies that do make stuff in the US, but as a percentage, it's low. We lump us all together. So because I was able to still get my fractional plates, I was still able to get these 2.5s, 5s, and 10s and have this steel maker that I have that I've been using for years, we were able to stay in stock mostly. And sales rose, I don't know, 300%.
Totally.
Like, something crazy for us. And then we've been trying to like kind of quote unquote ride that wave since then. So, you know, I layered on a full timer. We had a couple more employees. At that point, even whenever I quit my job in July 4th, 2020 to do MicroGains full time, because it was just like way too much.
Wow.
And then the sales went up and up. You know, we went into Christmas. January 2021 was one of our biggest months ever. And then like stuff started to go back downhill, like the summer of 2021. So like June, July, August, September was like a bottom fell out. Like it was, my 2.5s, 5s, and 10s almost died. Like I probably lost 90%
sale
on those, you know? So if you're selling 500 units a month, you're selling 50 now. So big drop off. In fact, I still have some 2.5s, 5s, that I ordered a year ago, like that I'm still working through some inventory because our price is high on it because like the steel is expensive. Like we don't even make a terrible margin on it. Honestly, we've sold them at different sales and stuff like that. But yeah, we had it at the time and it was going like, it was very abrupt. And I think it's because a lot of the overseas manufacturers started to come back in stock. You know, whenever you get a 2.5 pound plate for 10 or 15 bucks, you're not going to spend $30 on it. Even if it's made in the USA, even if it's better quality, you know, people are very price conscious. So, but you know, I can definitely say the pandemic helped me quit my job. No question. Mm-hmm. Gave us more attention because we got, you know, thousands and thousands of MicroGains products into people's hands and they came back and bought more stuff later. So now without being on the back of these bigger weight plates, which we still offer, but don't sell as many of, you know, we've come out with more products. We came out with dumbbell handles. We came out with the new dumbbell plate. We've come out with like some different things to try to keep sales up. You know, after we saw a decline, then we've started to climb back out as the dumbbell plates become more popular and some of our other products.
Sure. I want to ask you about the deadlift jack here in a second, but before I do that, I'm always curious about the manufacturing process because I've called around and asked about, ironwork mills that are in different states and tried to see, hey, would you be interested in working with us? Majority of them, the answer is, funny enough, no, or they just don't respond. Did you have issues starting out with actually getting people to contact you back to even make the stuff in the United States? Because I found that's a huge issue from a manufacturing perspective.
That's a really good question. I have a very specific opinion on this. You have to go through a lot of manufacturers to make your stuff in the US. We talked about this on a podcast with Garage Gym, with Jake from Garage Gym Experiment, that in the US, all the manufacturers on the podcast had trouble getting in touch with people, returning emails and things like that. Whereas whenever you go overseas, a lot of these guys are answering emails like in 4 hours and they're all the other way on the side of the earth. You know, I would say they're hungrier over there. I think that there's somewhat of a complacency going on in the US in the manufacturing sector. I think it's pretty old school. You know, in America, people are really interested in like tech companies, right? Tech companies is like the sexy thing, Google and Facebook and Amazon and stuff like that. It's not as cool to be at a manufacturer. And I think that a lot of those big guys, they're just used to running business a certain way.
Yeah.
And we, like, for instance, I actually looked at making bigger plates during the pandemic. Like I did look at 25s, 35s, 45s, 55s, cast iron. And I emailed, I don't even know how many cast iron suppliers in the US, almost none of them emailed me back, like not even email back, right? I'm like, hey, here's tens of thousands of dollars. They're like, no, thanks. And we were going to start our MacroGains line of, I actually had an engineer design MacroGains deep dish plates. They look pretty dope. I gotta say they were deep and they were double faced, which you never see. So like both sides would have like the face of the plate, pretty sweet. But yeah, no one really wanted to touch them. And then by the time I got a quote from like two different companies and it was outrageous because they just didn't want to work on it. Like they didn't want to make the patterns and it was tens of thousands of dollars and it shouldn't have been. And my father-in-law that I mentioned previously, he's a handyman. He has a forge. He's cast things in his garage. Like, he understands what it takes. I know that, like, big manufacturing is going to cost more, but they didn't really want to do it. And, you know, a lot of that's, once again, it's gone overseas. Like, they're not even really trying to compete with overseas at this point. There is no, you know, for me, I think it was like for the maybe $2 a pound in cost for iron. So now you're $90 for, you know, a 45 pound plate. This is in 2020. So, you know, people are used to paying $1 a pound retail, let alone me paying $2 a pound cost and then trying to charge, you know, money to get it made. So we've gone through different manufacturers. Some have worked really well for us. Some of our partners have not. We've had a coder that we recently let go because they were, the customer service was trash, to be blunt. And we went with a different company that's working out better. So, you know, I give these companies a lot of chances. And, you know, it's crazy that, like, you're like, hey, here's tens of thousands of dollars. And they're like, we're not really interested. Yeah. Or, you know, there's so much that I've seen in the manufacturing space that's like, we're a small fish in a big pond. And, like, they just don't want to deal that much. A lot of these companies are used to, like, big contracts or big manufacturers that they work with. And they don't really want to work with the small guys because it's not a lot of money for them. It sucks because it makes it harder for a small company to get going. But there are a few companies out there that are hungry, no question, that do want to help out. It's just a matter of finding them, and especially finding them locally. Like, I live in a more rural area. So for me, it's like you got to travel distance sometimes to get to some of these companies. And then you start to lose margin because I'm in Pennsylvania. So am I going to get something made in Las Vegas and have it shipped back here? You know, like, that's going to cost how much money too. So you try to find local companies, but there's definitely a complacency locally. Of companies that, like, don't pick up their phone or don't answer. You know, we actually have a cast iron place that's going to go out of business here in where I'm at. And I remember I went over to ask them and I couldn't even get a meeting, and they're actually going to go out of business. They've been in business for like 150 years. So couldn't even get a meeting. And, you know, so we're just trying to do our best and work with the companies that do want to work with us.
Have you ever thought about buying your own manufacturing facility? I know that's probably years down the road, but.
We've thought about buying our own machine shop. So we've been heavily looking at making more products with like a lathe or a router, like CNC lathes and routers. I rent space. I'm at my house right now, but I actually rent space for production from a machine shop company. We rent warehouse spacing from them that we do all of our production, and we have a dock and forklift and stuff like that to maneuver around our stuff. But manufacturing for my plates is probably not feasible. Stuff that makes our products, our dumbbell plates and our micro plates, are $1 million machines. This is not a standard way that anybody makes weight plates. It's steel, but it's not cast iron. It's not like laser cut steel. We get several products made out of press metal. I don't know if you're familiar at all with press metal, powdered metal. So it's big in the automotive industry.
Okay.
But these are very expensive machines. However, I do think that, like, if you want to keep making stuff in the USA, you're probably going to have to manufacture it yourself if you want to keep the prices down. Because if you're paying someone else, you know, machine time, you know, machinists, I mean, even around here, you're getting to run things on a lathe at a machine shop, $100 an hour, you know, so, and that's probably low compared to towns that are maybe, I don't know, more urban. I don't know. You know, I haven't really gone outside of that. But yeah, I think that it's definitely on our mind to do that rather than keep paying to have our dumbbell handles made and having our gym pins made by someone else. We could probably save money by having the machines ourselves. And I think that's a great way to kind of, I guess, bring like manufacturing back and make it a little more sexy than it sort of currently is, you know, make it more appealing for individuals. Definitely on the list, but definitely a couple of years down the road.
Sure. Talk to me a little bit too about, American-made quality, because I think that's becoming a bit more important as time goes on. The pandemic kind of brought that out a little bit with people being more willing to purchase American-made products, even at a premium. But aside from obviously the quality with American-made products, is there anything else that, even with your product, that particularly stands out as opposed to you just importing it and getting it for bottom dollar?
One of the nice things about my product is that it's made 10 minutes from my house. So this is really important because I can now go talk to the owner of that company that makes our fractional plates and our dumbbell plates. They make four different products for us now that I can go 10 minutes away. We can have a meeting. I can see the product get made. I can see the prototypes. I can run up there and see how it's going. I can check quality. If it's made overseas, it becomes a lot more difficult to do that. Most manufacturers, I don't know, they're probably not flying over to China or Asia to check out their product. They're probably getting samples sent back and forth. And, you know, there's a language barrier there. There's, you know, not having that personal touch. There's, you know, who can you trust? You know, there's a level of, you don't have to worry about that as much in the USA. Now, that being said, like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of companies that won't talk to you, which is kind of crazy, where the Chinese companies or, you know, overseas companies will, for sure. Like I get an email every other day from someone that's like, we make dumbbells and we make weight plates and stuff like that, you know, tons of manufacturers. And it's actually, yeah, it's a lot, but I like the fact that I can go 10 minutes away. Like our microplates are made 10 minutes away. They are, they're coated 40 minutes away from here. The box is made 40 minutes from here. You know, like it's the whole thing. The spring is made for the dumbbell plates. The spring's made 40 minutes from here. Like everything is extremely local. So I can have that back and forth and go see our products get made and everything like that. And I mean, for us, the quality is good. Like I've ordered a lot of the overseas parts, like fractional plates, for instance. They might be $5-$10 cheaper on Amazon, but they're not as good. Yeah. And from a lot of reasons, like ours are calibrated first off. You know, you're getting a set of microplates for $40-$45 that's calibrated to within 5 grams. Like this, you're not getting that with these cheaper sets. You know, you're getting someone, the other thing, like you're getting someone that actually answers emails and texts and DMs, you know, about customer service. Try emailing any of these companies that you've never heard of that have like random names and try to get an email back. Like all the companies on Amazon that I go against are just like random names, like Trademark Innovations or 44 Sport, where they also sell luggage and pencils. And like, is that where you want to get your fitness equipment from?
Yeah.
And then like we're obviously really strict on quality, so I'm not letting out anything that has blemishes and things like that. You know, we're physically looking at it, where I don't get a chance to see that if it comes over in a shipping container. And then how are you dealing with returns and things like that? I think the quality's there. We do turn around our stuff really fast. I know there's a lot of US manufacturers that have been cropping up that are making a lot of custom stuff that is taking time to make it. So like, hey, I want to order this set of dumbbell handles, and yeah, we can make it and get it out to you in a couple weeks. We're always like, we're going to ship it to you tomorrow. We have everything already made. You know, we know that speed's really important, and we definitely have the quality to back it up, at least at our company. I know that I'm not saying there's the quality of overseas parts is bad. I mean, not at all. You know, I have things from made overseas, and, but you know, we do stand behind our quality here.
Nice. And for people that are in the home gym space, particularly with our audience, I think one of the things that really makes you guys stand out, or even just US companies in general, you mentioned customization, and I saw some of the stuff you've done with the deadlift jack and also some of your plates. Like you can just do that right there, and it doesn't cost, I mean, it might cost an arm and a leg, but you can get it customized way faster than having to wait 6, 8, 12 months to get it shipped from overseas. Right.
That's true. Yeah. So like our deadlift jack, I mean, we had a lot of interest in, it looks kind of like a guitar, like a, like the way it's shaped. So we actually had like a Stratocaster design that I did not make. I purchased off Etsy. Like you get these free designs, and then I edited in my, I have a Laguna Laser. So we edited in the laser to make it fit on the jack. And then it looks pretty cool. Actually, we sold a couple of those, and you know, that's something that I can get to you like tomorrow. Even if you want like something custom, and you know, we don't really advertise the custom services yet. But we've done custom service for people that are interested. Sometimes it takes a couple days, just to get, because you have to get like the images together, and then you have to format it and then edit it and then get it all on and do a prototype or like a test run to make sure it works. So it is a couple hours of work depending on how complex your design is, unless you just want like your name or something on it. But we typically turn that around fast too. So we don't, you know, you're not waiting weeks. I mean, we can put your name on the back of the fractional plates if you want, or your gym name. And we can honestly, once I get that formatted on the laser, you know, that can be a couple extra dollars per plate or not even that much. So we haven't explored that as much as I think I'd like, because we've been busy with other things, but it's definitely, at least with the laser, we can customize a lot there. We've done customized like 2.5s, 5s, and 10s, the laser, because like on those plates, there's a lot of big area that you can like do things on. And people do really like that. People are definitely into that custom work for sure. Especially since we can turn it around relatively quick.
Are you noticing, I was just thinking about this as you were talking, with home gyms becoming even more popular now, that people are saying, this equipment is mine, I want it to have some sort of personalized feel. Is there more demand for customization, or do you think there will be more demand for customization as time goes on, and as that market just continues to expand?
I'm sure. I think that people want to be individuals, right? They want something in their gym that's maybe different than everybody else. And maybe that's a weight plate. Maybe that's a bar that has their name on it. Maybe that's a specific color. Where we've always sold pretty much all of our products are black.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Because of cost mostly. I mean, mm-hmm. that is the main reason. It's like when you're buying all the different colors, like yellow, red, blue, green, that costs so much more to get those individual colors than just like making everything one color. But that being said, people like that kind of stuff. You know, if you can do customized colors and people are willing to wait, I think people definitely like the individualism of that and having something custom that they can show their buddy or they just like it. I mean, I've definitely done, I did a jack recently for a customer that I themed Michigan. I had it in my stories where like we actually did like a lighthouse on the back of it for pure Michigan. And we've done, I have a partnership with Barbell Logic where we laser etch Barbell Logic on the back of the micro plates. So
yeah.
Barbell Logic and then like 0.25, 0.50, 0.75 pounds. I did a Barbell Logic jack stand before. I've definitely seen a slight uptick in demand. We don't advertise it as much. People ask because they see that we laser stuff. So then they'll mm-hmm. say, hey, can you do this? I think whoever can do it for cheaper will win probably, because then when people see like, oh yeah, the plate's $40, but it's $80 if you want to customize, then people are mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to do that. So it still has to be affordable. And if it's not, then people aren't going to buy it and it'll go somewhere else probably because price conscious is very big.
Yep. Yep. I hear that. Deadlift jack, which I've been teasing for a little bit. So I actually have two of your deadlift jacks for the regular bar and they're freaking awesome. Very streamlined design. Like you said, just shaped like a guitar. Slide it. For those of people who don't know on the podcast, you basically just slide these deadlift jacks under the bar. It's not like a deadlift wedge where you put it under the plate. You actually can stick it under the bar and then jack it up a couple of inches. So it's very easy to put plates on and off. Where did you come up with that idea? Because that's great. And I think you were the only one when I was looking maybe three to five years ago, like I think you were one of the only ones that sold something like that. That wasn't just this gigantic piece of metal that you had to stick in your home gym and takes up all this space. So where did you come up with the idea?
So probably 2018, 2019, I remember on Instagram seeing somebody using a jack that was like custom made out of one piece of wood tall, like 3-4 feet. And it was one solid piece that came around and hooked. And I was like, that's pretty neat. And I was like, we can probably make something similar to that. But like, for me, I always like reverse engineer everything to make sure it can ship. So like our plates are reverse engineered to make sure they fit in a small flat rate box. Our boxes fit in padded flat rate envelopes. Certain products fit in medium flat rate boxes. So I can make sure I can adjust our shipping structure. And I'm like, how can I do that? Like, I'm not a great craftsman, but I really like the idea. This had to be like 2018. And I thought, you know, we could probably make a removable handle. That way we could fit the base and the handle in a box. And then people can just, it's basic. You just screw it in, right? Yep. Super simple. And we made an original prototype and then we started selling them. Gosh, I'm not even sure when, early 2019, maybe late 2018. And we started to modify from there. So my father-in-law actually makes the bases. He cuts them out with a bandsaw. We had them routed, CNC router for a little bit too. Cuts them out and then like routes them, varnishes them. And then he puts there's a metal coupler in it that we're originally actually, we just had it wood. We just cut grooves in the wood and then we screwed a pipe into the wood.
Okay.
Like different problems with that. And so we added a metal coupler and then I bought stickers originally. I love the sticker thing. And I got a hot brand that I would brand jack stand. We decided to call it. I think my brother came up with the idea of like the jacked stand, pretty cool name. And then now we laser etch them all right on the wood. So he makes the bases and then we actually take like the pipe handles. So we take those and if you have them, we get 20-foot pieces of pipe. We cut it into the lengths and then we thread our own pipe and then we paint our own pipes. And then we put a grip on it and send everything to you for a pretty reasonable price compared to maybe other jacks on the market. Weren't many single-sided barbell jacks at the time. You're right about that. More have cropped up in the last couple of years. But it's nicer, you know, the wedge is cheap. There's no question, but it is nice because you don't have to bend down. You don't have to pick up the wedge. You don't got to throw it down and roll your plates on. You just hook the bar, pull it back. The wood is very strong. We use a hardwood and it's a wide base too. It's like 2.25 inches of one piece of hardwood, which makes it incredibly strong. Like wood is much stronger than people give it credit for. So, you know, we're very used to in the weightlifting steel, right? Steel, iron, whatever, but the wood works really well. And we eventually made a two inch, we may have talked about this previously, but a 2-inch design, which accommodates rackable trap bars. So we have the only one in the market that does that. Nice. And then which is basically just making an expanded jack stand to accommodate that same design. And then we're also working on like a trap stand as well, which is similar, but it's going to be about twice as thick, and it's going to be able to do trap bars that aren't rackable. We had a video on a prototype a couple weeks ago, but we're still working on making it slightly better. So, but yeah, pretty neat, pretty unique product out there.
Yeah, no kidding. The thing I like the most about that design, as opposed to some of the metal ones, or even the ones with like the UHMW plastic, is it's a very simple design that doesn't screw up your bar. I mean, it's metal against wood. It's not going to eat into the knurling or anything like that. It's just, you know, you grab it, you go, you don't have to worry about damage.
Yeah. So, yeah. Great point.
Yeah. What was I going to say? So you've got iterations of that product that are going to be for a trap bar. Are you working on upgrading the original existing design, or is it pretty set?
It's pretty set. We've changed some things about it. We've shortened it. It depends on the wood, honestly. My father-in-law actually cuts down trees and stuff like that to heat his house, and cuts his own lumber off of his property. He has a couple hundred acres, and he started to then pull wood off to the side for jacks specifically, because we need a certain thickness. Like, you can't just really go to Lowe's and buy 2.5-inch thick wood, hardwood on top of that. So we've been using ash and poplar and oak and maple. Wow. And that's not cheap wood. So I was getting from him, I bought wood, also like live edge slabs from a wood supplier before, and then we've cut them out that way. So, but no, I think the design works really well. You know, it's got the toe, it rolls back. It's small enough. It's like 6 pounds of wood. Like, it's a nice chunk of wood, but it also ships, you know, relatively cheap. And yeah, I think that I don't see any reason to change it up. Cause it works pretty well now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always curious just about the personal background. So, are you married? You have kids, or?
I am married. I have three kids, three boys.
Awesome. And so how are they moving with you throughout this entire thing? Were super supportive or kind of hesitant moving into microgains?
Definitely supportive. My kids, you know, they've sort of like, I have a 3, 6, and a 9-year-old. So, I mean, they're all relatively young, you know, they kind of understand the weights plate. They don't understand. They kind of understand, but don't understand. They know that, like, I work at Microgains. Like, the cool thing is I work from home now, where I'm in the basement right now, and they can come get me, which is one of the nice things about working from home. And then I do go to another facility for half the day for the production of it, but, it's nice making your own schedule and stuff like that now. But, you know, originally I'll be honest, it's tough whenever you're doing both. Like, I was working a management job 50 hours a week and then trying to run microgains at night and on days off. And, you know, that can be frustrating. Especially since, like, yeah, I've got to get these orders out for customers, but then I've got to make sure I get this job done and then still be come home and then, like, you're still trying to get your workout in, still trying to spend time with your family, still trying to run your business. Like, you can understand why some people quit, you know, why, like, a lot of entrepreneurs don't make it. That can be challenging. My wife helps me a ton. You know, she's been supportive, most of it. And she helps, you know, do orders, and she comes over and packs sets whenever she can. She stays at home with the kids. So she's available to do that. And that helps a lot too. So,
nice.
But yeah, it's definitely been a journey.
Yeah, for sure. I was curious if you had, I know you've been asked this before, but products that are coming out, have you thought about doing anything with, like, incremental loading on chain?
I have not.
Okay. I was just curious. And powerlifting seems to be kind of up and coming, and even just like cresting and popular in the gym space. And I know people are with the West Side Method and that kind of thing. I've always, you know, chains kind of, depending on where you get it from, can be somewhat accurate or inaccurate. I'm curious if there's a market for that kind of thing, but anyway.
I don't know. I've had one suggestion for chain at one point. Was someone asked me if I could make quiet chains, because there's like a sensory overload whenever you're lifting it and they're dinging off of each other. So, you know, that was a couple of years ago. And I mean, probably, you know, I would assume rubber dipping the chain or something like that would help, obviously. But I have never looked into that. And as far as accuracy, like, I don't know, people buy chain in, like, in lumps of, I don't know if it weighs a certain amount, and then they're taking off certain pieces to add on a little weight. And that's, like, I understand, I guess, the use of it. I don't know what percentage of people are using it, or what manufacturers they're buying them from. Cause, like, are they going to Lowe's to buy chain, or Home Depot, or are they buying it from, like, Rogue?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of manufacturers that are making chain. If it were me personally, I would just DIY it and probably just go to the Lowe's or Home Depot and measure it myself. But then you've got to cut, you know, the individual chain. And if there was just a way to like add or you could obviously add the microplates on the actual bar, but if you're trying not to take up additional space, I just thought, oh, that would be an interesting concept. I didn't know if anybody else had run that by you yet, or if there was even demand for that kind of thing. I'm really not sure how popular the West Side method honestly is. I just like the sound of chain on the floor, honestly.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the idea. I get a couple ideas every month from people pitching me different things that they think would work. And you know, sometimes I have to let them down slowly. And then sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. You should really, you know, turn that into a company. So, but yeah. I just had one this morning actually already. Oh, so. Nice.
Have you ever worked with Dylan from Abmat?
I have. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We did a collab once where he actually made some MicroGains Abmats. I actually have them here.
Oh, no way.
We did a giveaway. And then he worked together with me to actually meet the guys that make the gym pin. So we worked together with them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I saw that on your website. So you're basically white labeling that product just with your guys' logo and selling it on the website?
We license it from Gympin.
Okay.
So full-on licensing deal, like where, you know, we work with them. We didn't do it independently. We didn't rip off their design or anything like that.
Yeah.
So and then the thing with ours is we only make one size. So we went, so like right now we tackle the micro loading on the barbell and the dumbbell. And then now with the gym pin, we can tackle the micro loading on the weight machine,
yes. Right?
So, you know, weight machines, you have some behind you that are go up by 10s, maybe 15 pounds at a time, right? That's a big jump on those things, depending on the move you're doing. You know, not everybody maxes out the stack. And it's a great way to insert the pin, add 5 pounds. And then now you're only going up by 5 or add a 2.5 pound plate. Or in our case, micro load it and go up by 1.25 or something like that. It's not about popping the pin in and adding 345s. To, you know, exceed the limit of your machine. But that's why we kind of want to do the mini pin because it's only about 3 inches long. So it does sort of prevent you from overloading the machine. They sell long, gym pin sells like 6 inch pins, 8 inch pins, for maybe the machines that allow that or different applications, but we've kind of done it for the micro loading thing. And then our pin, they're a company from England or the UK where, and their stuff's made in the UK, obviously, where our pin is completely made in the US too. And then the nice thing is like, you know, you can get it from us today. They have some distributors here, or you have to order it from overseas, but you can get a pin from us, which is the exact same pin, basically, that we do hand assemble and then send to you right here in America quicker.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I never thought about that with using it with the selectorized equipment. But yeah, the jumps to me, especially if you're trying to do overload movements or that kind of thing, like even a half a pound or a pound on some of that stuff can be the difference between absolutely destroying your lower body or, you know, not getting quite enough pump where the next jump is going to be too much. So
yeah,
I really like that concept. What was I going to ask? Where can people find you if they wanted to purchase some of these microplates? I know you mentioned Amazon and eBay, but what's the website and what are your social tags?
Our website is just microgains.com, and we sell everything on there. And we do sell on walmart.com. We sell on amazon.com. We sell on eBay. We sell a little bit on Etsy. And then we sell dumbbell plates on kabukistrength.com. You know, we're trying to get more, definitely trying to get our products more out there. But website's the best place to go. It usually has the best deals, you know, with different discount codes, or some of our stuff is just a couple dollars less there because the fees are a lot less there than it is on Amazon. So we can charge a slightly smaller fee. But you can look us up on Instagram. That's what we're most active on, at MicroGains. Facebook's at MicroGains. TikTok is at MicroGains. We're also active on there. But yeah, definitely check us out. And, you know, if you have any questions, hit me up in a DM.
Awesome. What's your basic pitch if somebody's coming to you for the first time on, you alluded to this a little bit at the beginning, but why should somebody purchase MicroGains if they're, you know, let's say they're in a home gym and they're trying to get a little bit stronger. Why should somebody purchase MicroGains?
It's a great product to go up incrementally in weight to prevent you from getting injured, keep your form straight, and keep your progress going. People that lift, like we don't, it's definitely a mental game. Everybody would agree. And there's a lot of people that hit a certain plateau and they might quit, you know, like, I'm just like, I'm stuck at that 225 bench, can't get the 230 or like, I'm keep on deloading and going back up. And it's very frustrating. And MicroGains products are a great way to incrementally go up a little bit, keep your confidence up. Whenever you see the numbers go up, even if it's by a pound or two, you know, it's really important mentally. Like, think about it. Even if you're benching 300 pounds, if you added 1 pound a week, you know, which, like, oh, that doesn't sound like a lot. That's 52 pounds a year. How many people would want to add 52 pounds to their bench in a year? Bench or squat or overhead press? Like, it just sounds, geez. You know, whenever you see, like, we obviously catch some flack for having, like, small weight plates. Like, why would I ever use that? I'm like, do you bench press your car? Well, why not? Well, if you're able to add 5 or 10 or 20 pounds every time, then how are we not, you know, squatting 1,000 pounds in a couple months or, well, a couple years? Yeah. And that just comes to, yeah, there's obviously ego and lifting and stuff like that. But if you can cut the ego out, you know, the fractional plates are a great way to keep the progress going for you. And yeah, it's the perfect addition to a gym. Doesn't take up a lot of space. It's relatively inexpensive, you know, $40 and for a set, $45, depending on what you want. And, you know, for that, we can add in, you get lots of combinations with the plates, with the dumbbell plates. You can double your dumbbell range for $100 instead of spend. I mean, I'm talking about saving you $1,000, $2,000 of not buying those dumbbells. And then we, you know, we come up with this 2.5 pound dumbbell plate. You can now get rid of your 35s, 45s, 55s, 65s, sell all those, buy these dumbbell plates. And now all of a sudden you've got $1,000 back in your pocket and you have all the same dumbbells you had for a little bit of money. So, yeah, I think that's the big pitch there. If you want to keep it going. I don't think anybody lifts and doesn't want to, like, kind of add weight over time. I don't think people that are just, like, sitting there at the same weight forever and are just kind of happy with that. And most people want to add a little bit more weight. And then, you know, like, a lot of people will say to me, like, oh, I'll just increase the reps. Like, well, yeah, like, you can totally do that. You don't have to do 5. You can do 8 reps. Like, you can totally do that. You know, you can call these plates a time saver at that point, if that's the way that you want to lift. But I mean, it's useful for a lot of people. Maybe not for the newbie with the newbie gains, right? Whenever you're lifting and you're, you know, I've never told anybody, don't add 45s or 25s or 10s. Put as much weight as you want on the bar, but eventually you will hit some sort of a plateau. And that's where we can come in and help you out.
I was just thinking about you guys the other day. There was a lady that came in here and we don't sell the in-between sizes. We sell in 5 pound increments on dumbbells, but she was like, hey, do you have any 22.5s? I should have just sent her straight to you guys.
Yeah.
That's the perfect solution to getting in between. Cause you can, like you said, it's ridiculously expensive to get all of the individual sizes, but if you've got a couple of pound plates, you know, from you guys, I mean, it takes 2 seconds to slip those on and off, and they're super secure with the design that you have. You were mentioning ego lifting, obviously, and people that are in the powerlifting space and trying to increase your numbers. Has anybody ever approached you about using these? And I know they're probably not whatever federation approved, but using these in a competition, because everybody's all about the numbers and increasing it just slightly to beat out the other guy. But, like, has anybody ever talked about or used those during an actual competition?
Yeah, we actually partner with the 100% Raw Powerlifting Federation, and they use our kilogram plates. So we do sell kilogram plates as well. And, like, for, they use our quarter kilogram and half kilogram plates for PR lifts or, like, the fourth attempt sometimes. So, or they do it for, they're getting, like, strict curls becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going up in strict curl, going up by 5, you're done. Like, how many you add 5 pounds of strict curl before, like, that's it. So guys that are strict curling, you know, 130, 140, 150 pounds, like, you know, going up 1 kilogram, 2 pounds or a half kilogram, 1 pound is a big deal. So we actually have, there's like 20 different like leaders across like the Northeast all the way down to Florida, maybe is where the 100% Raw is. And we've sent, specific micro plates to them, kilogram plates that say 100% Raw Powerlifting Federation. They were laser etched. So they're pretty cool. That's the thing. Most competitions are in kilograms. And we sell just a couple kilogram sets because, like, in America, pounds is reign supreme. But when you lift competition, it's kilograms. So, but there's such, like, I haven't really gone deeper into kilogram plates because it's like there's such low demand outside of that that, like, holding them is just not great for, like, holding them for inventory. But yeah, people have definitely used our stuff in competition for that. And if anybody ever lifts in pounds, you know, we're more than happy to offer calibrated plates to them to lift for competition.
Yeah. How do you get the calibration just from a technical standpoint? Like, how do you get the calibration so close in grams? I've never been able to figure that out. I know on the big competition plates, they've got those little discs on the inside that I don't know if that's the thing that they're using to kind of slightly adjust the weight, but how do you get it? Because it looks like it's just completely flat. Like, how are you getting it so accurate?
It is. So both of our plates, even the steel ones, steel's fairly accurate. I mean, assuming the steel is solid steel all the way through without any impurities, if you do the math, you can figure out pretty close to within a tenth of, or like 0.02 pounds, 0.03 pounds, which is like 10 to 15 grams, not much. Our fractional plates are usually within 5 grams, and it's the nature of the process of how it's made. So when I mentioned before, it's like pressed metal. Basically, what the process is there, the plates are, it's literally powder, and it's carbon and iron in a certain mixture. And then they feed it into a press, which then presses it, squeezes it with like 200 tons of force, kicks it out. And then you've already done the math, and it dispenses the exact amount to the gram of powder that you need. And then they run it through a sinterer, or like, which is like a giant furnace at about 2000 degrees. That causes a process called metallurgy, which slowly sort of melts the metal and bonds the plate together. And then when it kicks out on the other side, after it's basically cooked, it's as solid as steel. So the automotive industry is huge into powdered metal products. And we, I believe we're the only company in the world that makes weight plates out of powdered metal. So, but that's where the accuracy comes from. They have to be accurate, because if you're thinking about products that are going into vehicles for safety or other things like that, these products have to be accurate within a gram or less than that. They can get the tolerances really tight. But yeah, we don't use discs or anything weird to try to like match the weight or mill it or anything like that. They come out super accurate right out of the gate. We even factor in for like how much the coating weighs, and then subtract weight for that. Even our dumbbell plates are fairly accurate, and we've subtracted weight for the rivet and like the spring to make sure that it all weighs pretty close.
That's incredible. So if for those listening, if you really want to break your PR and know that you're breaking your PR within a few grams, you need to go with MicroGains.
Sure. Yeah, we got you covered. I think we have the best USA made fractional plates in the market. I go to bat for that, where most companies are probably making them overseas. And then I don't know if you can get any calibrated plates for as cheap as ours are. So
yeah, nice. I like it. Mike, thank you for coming on. Everybody check out MicroGains, microgains.com. And thank you, Mike, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Please give Freedom Cast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.